Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, we pray for Trevor. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you've given him to share. And we pray that you'd open our hearts to receive that from you. And anything that's not of you, that would be washed away. But come, Holy Spirit, I pray, and even distract him with fresh Holy Spirit thoughts. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me all right?
This
feels strange, actually, not having a mic in the hand. And, no, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. I'm just saying
it. Everybody can hear what you say.
Indeed. Yeah. So, if I speak too loud, let me know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so firstly, as Mary said, I apologise. I'm not Rick Oldland. He couldn't be here, but interestingly enough, almost this time last year, I had a dream. And Rick Oldland was in it. I was at Gateway, and I was talking to him just before the service, and he said, "You're preaching today." I said, I haven't got my notes with me. So I had to go home, and that's where the dream just went into weirdness. That bit was, I kind of recognised what was going on, but later on I fell into a river, and then I changed and I came back in a football kit, and I was totally late as well, so I don't know what that means, but I felt that the dream was something about preparation, but I'm here and I am slightly prepared, so that's good. But just a note on dreams, why I mentioned that. It's not what I'm talking about, by the way. But dreams are fascinating, aren't they? I mean, hands up who's had dreams. We're talking about night dreams now. I mean, those are the ones I'm referring to, night dreams. That's almost everyone, isn't it? I mean, we all sort of dream in some shape or form. And sometimes they're clear and you can understand what they're saying. And other times they're complicated and a bit weird. But the God who doesn't sleep communicates with us during our sleep, which is interesting. If you take, for instance, Pharaoh had a dream. When I read that when I was very young, I honestly didn't understand what it was talking about. It was really complicated. And then when you hear the explanation, you think, oh, that does make some sense. And now when you read it, because you've heard it lots of times like I have, you know it's pretty straightforward. You can see the seven cows mean this and the fat ones and the thin ones. But, you know, the Pharaoh had no idea, and Joseph did, because the Holy Spirit gave him the interpretation. And King Nebuchadnezzar as well, in the Old Testament, was really puzzled by a dream he had. And Daniel, he didn't even get told what the dream was. In this instance, the king said, "I'm not telling anyone. If someone can tell me what I've dreamt and the interpretation, then I'm listening." And Daniel had the interpretation. He had the dream and the interpretation. The Holy Spirit spoke through him. Amazing stuff. So I just wanted to encourage you, first of all, don't write dreams off, because they are a way that God speaks to us. Sometimes they sort of evaporate. Sometimes you sort of have a sense that you've dreamt something, but you can't remember what it is. And that's okay. That's the way it happens. But other times they're pretty vivid and clear. And I would say write them down. And if you don't understand them, there might be someone who can help you. But ultimately it's the Holy Spirit who gives the interpretation. I guess it's a bit like another language. When you hear two people speak it in a foreign tongue, you think nothing of it. You think, I don't understand what they're talking about. You walk away. But those two people are talking about something and it means something. And as soon as you understand the language, it's boof. Oh, I know what you mean. Boof. I know what you mean now. I know what you're talking about. So, God uses dreams, but he speaks in a multitude of other ways too. So, yeah, okay. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Eyes for Eternity 2. That's a, 2. The second one, because last time I spoke, it was just Eyes for Eternity. And I don't know if you remember it, but It was a little while ago, but I've forgotten it as well, but I will try and bring it back. But at the end of it, Arthur said to me, he said, you could run a series of this. So I thought to myself, yeah, and potentially it could run for a very long time, couldn't it? I've got number two up there, but there could be some other numbers too. But I thought to myself, yeah, okay, I'll tackle this one again, because I'd like to review some of the things I spoke about last time. I'd like to bring them back to our attention, particularly one or two points, and I'd like to introduce one or two new ones as well. And so I wanted to just start off and say, for him who has ears, let him hear. Or for her who has ears, let her hear. But you know what I mean? Jesus said that. And so if there's anything I say this morning that makes sense or inspires you, then grab it and hold on to it. It's probably from God. But and if it doesn't, let it fall to the ground. It's probably of me, and that doesn't matter. But if it's from God, grab it. Let it land in your heart and your mind, and let it grow and flourish. So, are you with me so far? Okay. All right, we're just going to go over some scriptures, which I referred to last time. I just want to bring them back because they're really good. So next slide, please, Pokong. If you've got your Bibles, you can check it out. But this is 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of the one who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. So we get to live forever if we do the will of the Lord. Next slide, please, Pokong. This is Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. These are great scriptures. I'm not going to comment too much on them because I think they speak for themselves. But on that one, I love it where it says, set your minds on things above and also set your hearts on things above. So there's a clue there that God wants us to think above the earth. Therefore, don't focus on the world and all its pleasures and all its lusts, and the things that have been mentioned already. But set your minds on things above, things that are above this life. That's the call. Last time I mentioned about the jellyfish man, Ian McCormack. Who's heard his testimony? Most people, that's great. It's fantastic. I don't need to go into too much detail, but if you've not heard, he got stung by a jellyfish. It was fatal. He ends up dying. And during the moment where he's dead, he has an encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, at some point, he sees a choice where he can either go into heaven or come back to earth. And if I remember rightly, Ian McCormack said that he was so wanting to go into the garden or whatever he saw, it was home. You know, he was fully attracted to this heaven that he got a taste of. And it probably wasn't the full Monty. It was probably just a little taste. But Jesus said, okay, what about all the people back down on earth that you, your mother and your family and the people that you don't know who could benefit from knowing me? Cut long story short, Ian McCormack decided to go back. He said, yes, I will. I'll go back for them. And so he came back to life. Bang, just like that. And the nurse who was actually, who saw him, he had a death tag on his toe, was freaked out because he was dead. It was on a slab. and he came back to life. And the thing is, when he saw the glimpse of heaven, he was home. He didn't want to come back. And that was the point I made last time. And also, I don't know if you've seen a film called The Matrix. A very good film. Yeah. I won't go into detail on that either, but there's a great line in that where basically Morpheus, his character, is quite wise, says to Neo, the central character, at one point he says, "You've been living in a dream world, Neo." And basically he's had... they're in this sort of construct, which is computer run, and he's had the wool pulled over his eyes for as long as he's been alive. And suddenly he realizes and wakes up to the truth in this film, and Morpheus gives him a pill, basically, and he sees the world as it is and can do some things which are pretty amazing. I like the parallel in that. As you can probably see, it's a bit like us. When we come to Jesus, our eyes are open, and we can experience true life and see it through the eyes of God. It's fantastic. I think that probably those who don't know Jesus probably are living in a bit of a dream world, so to speak, and running after pleasures which won't last. So next slide, please. This is Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" In other words, it's a bit of a riddle there, but it's great, isn't it? If you take up your cross and follow Jesus, you will live. If you deny your life and lay it down, you will live. I think it means in this earth and in the life to come. It's not just talking about heaven here, but here. And yet those who seek worldly pleasures and say, "I don't want Jesus, I don't want to follow my own desires," it says very clearly in the scripture, those people will lose their life. Although they think they're gaining their life because they're not following Jesus and living in denial or self-denial, they're going for the things of the flesh. Ultimately, Jesus is saying, what will it profit somebody to do that? What can they give back at the end to exchange for their soul? "Here's my Ferrari, Jesus, you know. That's not going to work. Here's my surfboard. Here's my money that I collected over my life. It won't buy your soul." But we know that, don't we? And I did want to say that if you have a struggle with flesh, here's the thing, if you have a struggle with flesh and sin, and that affects us all, then, you know, we need to pick up a cross daily, because I've come to the realization lately that the only way to overcome flesh and the temptation of life, because it affects us all, although we're born again and we're Christians, you still get tempted from time to time. And also, it's tough. But if you take up your cross and die to sin every day, like "I die daily" is the phrase which comes to mind, then you will live. And you will overcome the flesh. I say that because when I read this scripture a long time ago, I thought once you follow Christ and you pick up your cross, that's it, it's all done. I'm on the journey, I'm going. But, you know, it has to be done daily. I'll pick it up today, I'll pick it up tomorrow, because otherwise I've had enough experience where I think I'm going all right, and then I go down, and then I get right with God, and I go up again, and then I go down. And basically, it's like, pick up your cross daily, come to the cross daily, and give up your life daily, and eventually you'll walk daily with Christ. And you can overcome the flesh that way. But I'm still trying. I'm not there yet. Okay, next slide, please. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8 says, have nothing to do with goldsmiths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Love that scripture, because there's a bit of a nod to physical training in there. Paul's writing to Timothy and saying, you know, it is of some value. I'm not writing it off, but, however, in one sense, it's only value for this life. It won't be of value for the next. But godliness is value for all things, both this life and the next. So he's talking very clearly there about living the way of God. But I do give respect to athletes who train 6 or 7 days a week when it comes to the Olympics. I think that's a tremendous dedication and an amazing discipline. And there's something to be had there. I think Paul was pretty recognising that in physical training, there is some discipline. And so therefore, we should do the same, be disciplined and train godliness in us, which can take every day, 6 or 7 days. So, good scripture that. Next one, please, Pokong. John 3:16. Everyone knows this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. When I say everyone, I mean everyone here knows this. There we have the promise of eternal life. Again, if you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. I don't think there's any dispute there. But I just wanted to say that today is a good day to be saved. If you're not already saved, I think everyone is. I'm looking around. I know everyone here. I was looking for someone who I didn't recognize, but there we are. I know everyone, so that's good. But it's good practice to preach the gospel. And can I have the next slide, please, Pokong? Because the thing is, there was three crosses on the day of the crucifixion, and Jesus was one. Two robbers or thieves were the other two. They, in the eyes of the law, they deserved to die, but Jesus didn't. But the thing that amazes me, that even on the, in that situation, I've read in one gospel where the robbers actually cast some insults to him. And then in another gospel, it says that, one of them asked for forgiveness and says, please remember me. Maybe it's the same one who held insults and then later repented, even on the cross. Maybe, I don't know, I try to put the two gospels together and just throw that out. I've heard one commentator say it was possibly the same thief who insulted Jesus and then later on said, please remember me. And Jesus, in his love and mercy, said, yes, even now you can come into my presence, come into God's presence. Tremendous mercy. So that even at that stage, people can turn to Christ, even when they've been living their lives the wrong way. But the truth is, once you're saved, then your eyes are open to the truth. You can see life totally differently, and you can start to live life to the full. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm just going to grab this chart now. Try not to block people. I'll put it about here. I don't know if... Can everyone see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Last time I did a bit of a controversial chart. I don't know if you remember that. I thought you might remember the word controversial, but it's potentially controversial. But there's something I would like to add to it this time. So, I think last time I explained that was possibly a symbolic representation of our life, a little dot in the corner. do you remember that? No? That's good. That's good. I'm glad I can do it again. And I was trying to explain that perhaps our life isn't very long on this earth, but the life of eternity with Christ is huge compared to it. theoretically this sort of block here. And obviously it goes up and over and doesn't end. And in one sense it's wider as well. But I'm just trying to get a little comparison to...
Well, it's fairly big.
Yes. And I wanted to sort of suggest that in heaven we are fulfilled. Do we all agree? You know, we will find fulfillment. That is good news. So, what's that?
What do you mean by fulfillment?
Our bodies will be made whole. We won't have any disease or problems or hang-ups. We'll have no financial worries. Words that have been spoken over our lives will be fulfilled. We'll see them come to pass. Promises from God will be fulfilled. The word will stand. Oh, I don't like that profile. It looks like a... it squashed me. Yeah. So I was going to write in here, and I will, words, promises, dreams. He is. I am, yeah. Sorry if you can't read my writing. It is a little bit squiggly. Basically, fulfillment is found in heaven with Christ. Fulfillment. Whatever that covers, it covers everything. Now, I won't leave it there. Now, we get words and visions and dreams and things spoken over our lives here, don't we? Hands up, who's had all those? Like prophetic words, dreams, visions. Hands up who has not seen some of those fulfilled? About the same amount. Unanswered prayer can go in there too. In life. Unanswered prayer. We talked about it this morning a bit, didn't we? Yeah. But Joe and I, we call this, we've got a little phrase for this, which I'm going to share. It's called the credibility gap. We call it the credibility gap. So from here to there, there's a gap sometimes of like, I've had this word, and I've had this vision, and I've had this promise, and I'm giving up these prayers, but the reality is, I'm not seeing anything, but we know that there's fulfillment to be had. But there's a struggle between the reality and the promise. And Joe and I call that the credibility gap. It's just a phrase that we've come to use, and the word credibility means, or in this phrase, reliability, dependability. Can I depend on it? Can I rely on it? Does it have integrity? And of course, obviously, the words that God speaks and the promises that God gives us and the visions he gives us do have dependability, do have reliability, and do have integrity. But, however, there's a tension between the reality and the fulfillment, or the reality and the promise. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So, sorry. And that tension is quite hard to live with at times. Particularly when you've had, for instance, prophetic words from God, signs and wonders, blah, blah, blah. For instance, about an issue in your life. And for me and Joe, it could be finance, money. We need money to live. We need money to run our business. But the reality is, far from it. It's the truth. But we believe that God is dependable, reliable, and his words have integrity. In the meantime, there's a bit of a waiting game. And that's what I just want to focus on next. So I'm not poo-pooing this. I'm just saying you have to be honest about the situation. Sometimes you're not seeing what's been promised. Hang on to that, I say, okay? Hang on to that. Hang on to that thought, because we're going to come to that in a minute. So I think I asked that question, but I'll ask it again. Who has unanswered words in their lives and who has unanswered prayers in their life. Yeah? That's the reality. But however, I know Andy shared something really good this morning about that, and we'll pick up on that in a minute. Okay. So this period of life is sometimes described as a waiting room. I don't know if you've heard that definition before, but a waiting room, where you've got these promises and you've got these words, and then you're waiting for some sort of fulfillment. But there's a period of unanswered prayer, etc., etc. Who likes waiting in a waiting room, for instance? Doctors, surgeries, and dentists are not very nice. But that's probably because you know what you're waiting for. But there are probably some waiting rooms that aren't so bad, you know. So I'm not knocking it, I'm just saying it's a fair example, waiting room. But I mean, if you're waiting for a bus, for instance, I remember waiting for a bus when I was doing work experience years and years ago, and I thought the bus, I was a long way from home, I thought the bus was coming and it never showed. And I thought it was coming every minute, and every time a minute went, the bus didn't come. And then before I know it, an hour or two had gone, but I kept thinking the bus is coming in a minute because that's what the program says, that's what the schedule says. But if I was told that you'd be waiting 2 hours for that bus in the cold, in the wet, and I knew it in advance, I would have done something else. We all would, wouldn't we? But when you're waiting, you're hanging on there and you think it's going to be in a minute. I guess that's, maybe that's a little bit how it is when we're waiting for God. But the question I've got for you, is this period of waiting for God, of unanswered prayer, words, while we're here on earth, and obviously we've got our eyes fixed on eternity, which is a good target and a good aim, but the reality is here and we've got to get on with it. Is the waiting period a waste of time? No? No. Okay. It's true. It's a significant time of development. For God to develop us and our characters. It's a time where God can refine that gold in the furnace in our lives. It's a time when he can train us and teach us. It's a time in the waiting period, which is significant. And I just want to give a couple of examples of biblical characters that have had promises and had to wait a while for the promise to look anything like the promise. So for instance, we've got Abraham. 75 years when he got the promise of Isaac, approximately 100 when Isaac turned up. That's 25 years waiting on a promise which he probably thought was coming any minute. Moses, 40 years old when he left Egypt, went back to Egypt to deliver them 40 years later. He was 80, so that's a 40-year period when he probably knew he was going to be doing something significant, and it wasn't until another 40 years that he saw the reality of it starting to happen. And then another 40 years wandering around in the desert with the Israelites. 120 when he died, and he didn't enter the promised land. But he might have got a glimpse. Joseph. Joseph got taken into slavery when he was a teenager. And he was probably 10 years in Potiphar's house serving in captivity. It's not where he wanted to be. And possibly two of those years were in prison for adultery, which he didn't commit. Daniel, 70 years in captivity, waiting on the promise of Israel being released out of captivity. This godly man who was calling on God and waiting. It took approximately 70 years, I think. Maybe longer than that, I don't know. David, 15 roughly when he was anointed king. 30 when he became king. So there's a 15-year period when he thought, oh, I'm king. I've been anointed. This is fantastic news. Yeah, that word of God has just been given to me. Pow! Whack! I'm in business, you know. I'm going to go for it. And suddenly, every day, he didn't see the fulfillment of that word. It must have been really hard for him, but he got on with it, didn't he? But 15 years later, it became a reality. So I'm just trying to say and describe that in the waiting period, there must be significance. There's something that God's doing in the waiting. The waiting period is good for us to... Well, we're going to look at that in a minute. It's not a waste of time. Christine Donner says something provocative when she came here last, and I wrote it down. She said, "Will you still worship me, this is God, if I don't heal you? If the very thing you proclaim about me doesn't happen, will you still follow me and worship me?" That was quite a challenge, I thought. But she was speaking from her heart, and she meant well, and it's an interesting point. Will we still worship God if nothing happens? If the thing doesn't happen? What about Job? Job, bless him, had everything taken away from him. His house, his family, his business, his livelihood. And then his health was in jeopardy. And he was going down the pan fast. And his wife said to him, I don't criticize her, by the way, because she was in this together with him. But she does say in the scriptures, curse God and die. Quite tempting that when things are going wrong. You think, I'm going to give up. I'm going to turn my back on God. I'm going to go the other way. But Job didn't. And it was worth his while because it all came good in the end. Fulfillment came, although it was a really painful journey. But God came through for him. Who's heard of Misty Edwards? She's a sort of gospel singer from Kansas, IHOP. She sings quite intimately with soaking music that Joe and I have been listening to recently. And one of the songs is called The Waiting Room, actually. And in it, she's talking about her tension and frustration with unanswered prayer. And she really does sort of reveal something of the tension that there is without being, shall we say, dishonorable. But she says to God, The days are turning into weeks and the weeks are turning into months. And the months are turning into years. And still I'm here in the waiting room of unanswered prayer. And it's really honest. But at the end she says, right at the end, the song sort of changes and lifts and says, I will love you right here, right now and forever. And that's what Christine's challenge was also about. Will you love God even when you're waiting and nothing's happening? Well, it's not happening the way you expect. And Ron Kingsmill, last time he came to the healing rooms, he shared a picture he had, which was really good. During the worship part at the end of the evening, he said that he often felt that the journey with Christ was like a hike. So it was from A to B to C to get there. I'm from here and I want to get there, you know? And this is me in my paraphrase, it's the way I understood it. He said that Jesus revealed to him that it wasn't a hike, the journey, it was a dance. And so sometimes he went sideways and sometimes he went backwards. Because he said he felt sometimes in life he isn't going forwards, he's going backwards. When it goes wrong, you're going backwards and when maybe you're going off course a bit. But he said it was like a dance. Jesus was revealing to him that it was like a dance. And it isn't just about getting to the destination. And in one sense, you know, heaven's important. Really important. But the journey down here in life is valid too. Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. And when Brian, myself and Mauricio went to Reading not long ago with Mike Yarrow in the car, we had a really good time in going there. I think we spent maybe 2 to 3 hours getting there. And then a couple of hours in the meeting, maybe it was longer. It was probably longer, but then another couple of hours getting home. So in one sense, the journey was kind of longer than the actual destination meeting, but that was really good. And we went there for impartation, and I believe we got it. Can't see it fully, but you know, you have this sense that you've gone there for a good reason. We got prayed for. I remember Brian and I were standing next to each other and I had my eyes shut, and when I opened them, he'd gone. Brian, he changed into a woman. There was a woman next to me instead. There was a woman there, and I thought, what's going on? It got moved apparently, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
In the line, I don't know. Anyway, the thing is though, it was a really good meeting, it was, and there's, Brian's shared some stuff before, and there was, youngsters there, they got prayed for, imparted, they put a high profile on the youngsters, it was brilliant, and there was even a couple of youngsters talking to Brian and myself at the beginning of the meeting, very young teenagers, probably Grace's age, and they were asking really interesting questions, like, do you ever hear from God? Have you ever seen an angel? And things like that, and you're thinking, oh, it's great being asked those questions by youngsters. And you can really, speak the truth and encourage them. It was great. Great way to start the meeting. But the point I wanted to make was about the journey, actually, because we set out quite early. And along the way, sure enough, there was congestion. Then we had to do a detour. We kind of missed our exit on the motorway. And I ended up trying to do some map reading, which I'm rubbish at. And I said, let's go off here. It might actually take us around the traffic. So we did it, but it felt like we're going sideways and then backwards. And at one point, Brian said, where are we going? And I said, I don't know. I said, I think it's over here. It was really, it felt like we'd go the wrong way. And then I thought, what have I done? And then it looked like we're going the right way. And and then we hit some more congestion in the little roads, and eventually we got there, but it was a long journey. But the the point is, the journey can't be a waste of time, because obviously we had to get there. But what was interesting was that the journey had its own events, and if you look at the time spent on travelling, actually the journey is significant. And the point I'm obviously making is that the journey is not a write-off. The journey is part of the process. The journey of waiting is also very significant. It is something to do with our lives here on earth. It's not a write-off. Does that make sense? So I've got a question for you guys, and a bit of a task. In this waiting room of life, what can we do in the meantime before we get to eternity and we're here on earth? Give me some things that we can do. What can we do in the meantime?
Pray.
Fellowship.
Worship.
Declare God's promise. Yep. Good one. Was that keep the faith?
Yeah.
Keep the faith. That sounds like a song, Gary. Yeah. Anything else?
Witness to others.
Pardon? Witness to others, God's love. Sorry? Cool. Paint pictures. Anything else? Sorry, one at a time, what was that?
I said get to know the other people.
Get to know them. Get to know people. Get to know people. Yeah, it is part of fellowship, but getting to know them is cool. What was that, Robert? Sorry?
Enjoy God's world.
Enjoy God's world. Did you say something, Robert?
Understand the journey.
What was that, sorry? Understand what?
The journey.
Oh, understand. Understand. Understanding. Let's put that down. What, anything else? Work, rest, and play. Put in brackets, Mars bar. I am suitably corrupted. No, that's right. Spend time with the bridegroom. Okay. Well, the list goes on, doesn't it? Because I could actually... So, did you say you got one? Yeah.
It's a bit long.
A bit long. Good one.
Check out if I'm making the wait longer.
Why am I waiting?
What was that?
Check out if I'm making the wait longer. Are we there?
Is there something that I'm doing, not doing,
that's
actually making the wait?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
I could be saying this is all God making me wait, but maybe I'm making you
wait. Yeah. That's right, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, is there something, is there something we can do about that? I'm doing that. Yep. Okay. Keep your eyes on Christ. I'll make that the last one for now. I'm running out of space. I mean, I could turn over, but it would go on and on. Keep eyes on Christ. And that's not a bad thing, because I just wanted to do this to illustrate that there's so much we can do in the meantime while we wait. It's not a waste of time, is it? It is significant and important. And you've covered all the things and more that I had written down here, just in case there was dead silence and no one had anything. But in this time, God's kingdom can come here on earth. Someone said that, I think, today. We can have heaven on earth. We can have that. We can have that in the meantime. I know we want to go to heaven, and that's the goal on the other sheet. But ultimately, you know, we can have heaven on earth now, and we can be those channels for God to work, you know, through us. You know, we can press into God with all these things and draw near to him. And what does he say? If we do that, he will draw near to us. So there's a great promise there. It's here we can reach out to the lost, last and least. I think that's been mentioned about reaching to people, telling them the good news. That's what we should be doing. Do what Jesus did. Tell people about him. The time we have here on earth is truly valuable and significant and not a waste of time, even if our promises are not being realized yet or shown. Hang on in there and do the good things that we've just said. In finishing... Let's use this time we have available to engage with him and make it count. I think that was said this weekend. And finally, brothers and sisters, have your eyes fixed on eternity, but your feet firmly fixed on the ground to take and show the good news of Jesus to those who need to hear the gospel. Does that make sense? Oh, good. I'll leave it there then. Ha 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 ha.